The second hearing into the GT&T review of order two of 2017 will now commence. On the last occasion we had on the 7th of September 2017, we had adjourned to give GT&T the opportunity to provide us with certain information. We have since in receipt of that information, which is now on our website, Mr. Dial, we would have sent that to you via email. Can you confirm that you're in receipt of that? And the commissioners have had an opportunity to look at the figures that were sent to us yesterday evening. GT&T, would you like to add anything to explain anything further, clarify anything based on the documents you would have sent us? Mr. Reynolds?
Yes, Commissioner. In terms of the figures that were sent, you will note on the heading of it that it says from September 9, 2017. It should be from May 23, 2017, when the workforce implementation management tool was implemented up to September 9, 2017. That was in a further document that was sent to Mr. Persad, subsequent to the document that was sent.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Yes,
it's May 23, 2017 to September 9, 2017.
Thank you very much. Anything further?
No, unless there are further instructions that are required from the commissioner.
Mr. Diel, do you have an opportunity to read the document? And do you have any further queries on?
Yes.
1 second, Mr. Diel, because we're taping, if you can press that little button. Thank you very much.
Yes, there were just one or two things about what I read just now. It doesn't, firstly, the fiber optic. When would GT&T expect to have that done?
Say on this matter.
Good afternoon, Ms. Newman.
Hi.
Yes. We're starting the proceedings.
Okay.
All right.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon, Ms. Newman. The chair recognizes that this is Ms. Newman's presence.
Right, so good afternoon, Chair Britton, commissioners, and members of the public, members of the GTA. The question was, when would we have the fiber optic project done? Specifically, what area? Because it's...
No, I'm just referring to what you wrote here. That is, once the company has deployed fiber optic fiber, the various villages and areas, as noted by Mr. Ned, we are confident that this number would decrease substantially. Now, what does this mean here, really? Once the company has deployed fiber to various villages and areas, there must be a time, and that's what I'm interested in.
Well, we're actually doing the project right now, and it's by the end of this year we'll be able to cover more than 20,000 homes fast. I would prefer not to get into the details of the project for competitive reasons, but by the end of this year there will be 20,000 homes
fast. No, I'm just looking at the geographical spread. of the, and not 70, I thought you said 20,000 homes or something, but I'm thinking of the geographical spread that you're talking about. Because in the zoning in the first part of your question, there of your submission, you talked about various zones of repairs, and I'm wondering to know if you were dealing with this fiber optic in terms of zones or households.
So the metric that I provided was based on the number of households. By the end of 2017, we will be able to pass with the fiber optic network up to 20,000 homes. Homes pass is a metric that is commonly used in telecommunications for fiber optic deployment.
I see.
And let me finish. We are currently deploying on the East Bank. And through the end of this year, we'll be into Georgetown and some parts of the East Coast. Based on the concentration of faults and the concentration of services, we anticipate that in the first phase of this deployment, which is 32,000 homes passed, we will be able to provide much more reliable service to several, at least a third of our network. And that's over the next 6 to 12 months.
I see. You're waiting 6 to 12 months.
We're not waiting 6 to 12 months. It's not something that
is done.
Although
we are waiting 6 to 12 months.
It is not something that is done immediately. It's not a click of a finger type of service. The guys, we are actually running new poles, running new cables, building new cabinets, doing new underground ducts. And I'm sure you would appreciate that doing infrastructure takes time. Because if you look at the road on East Bank, I believe that took almost 10 years. We're doing this in 6 to 12 months.
But when do you expect to finish the country?
So, as I said, we're doing this in a phased approach. And I will not divulge, for competitive reasons, our rollout plans beyond 12 months. We submit a new product development plan to the PUC every year, and we intend to do that for 2018. And at that time, our plans will become a lot clearer to the public.
Mr. Chairman?
And one other thing I'd like to add to that is that in even the most developed countries, fiber optic deployment is not across the entire country. And I'm sure that many of you who've lived overseas and know all of this stuff about telecommunications would know that that's a fact. Because if you live in New York or Maryland or London, not even London so much, or Toronto, you may have fiber optic network to your home, but you go outside of those areas, outside of New York City, you don't have fiber optic cable. It's just a matter of economics. So to really say, well, when we will go throughout the country, that's not a question that I'm equipped to answer, but I can tell you, based on other operators, it never wired an entire country because it's based on density, and for each home that we pass, not necessarily installed, for each home that we pass is a significant capital outlay. But we are confident that investment in Guyana in providing reliable broadband and communication services is definitely the way of the present and more so the future.
What we're talking about here really, I mean, I am talking about, it's about the landline, not the communication services, which include all kinds of other things, but strictly the landline. You said fiber optic would be, the installation of fiber optic was going to lessen the time of repairs, or would do it almost individually. I mean, instantly the last time, you can sit down in your office and get it done. What we're wondering to know is that, you see, there's a kind of, there's no clinching, no point at which we can get. It's just in my view, sort of vague. And I mean, it's, yeah, we're talking in terms of years, or 6 months, half a year. And this table that we have here, for instance, it took over a quarter of a year to let me see the table. It over a quarter of a year, let's look at Georgetown, to do the three day repairs. You did 926 in over a quarter of a year. And this is, I mean, and this was the thing that when we talked about zoning, you talked about the flatness, you talked about the geography, the geography anyway, of the place. And Georgetown, as it is a concentrated flat place with a concentration of telephones, and you don't have to go very far from one telephone to another. You've got the highest number here in Georgetown is nearly 7,000 telephones where you repaired these during the 3 years, the quarter of a year. But when you look at the repair timing, 4 to 7 days, you did 1,200 approximately in Georgetown. And if you, in when you put down here, in your first application, it was 4 to 5 working days would be the standard. Now, this doesn't, I mean, I don't know how you'd explain it. If you did 4 to 5 working days in that kind of zone, Georgetown and so on, and then you run into this thing that this table you have here, which runs on and on and on, and you say that not only it's 4 to 5, but in the thing you have there says that can be done better until you have the fiber optic. You know what I'm saying, really, what I'm trying to convey is that there's no precision in all of this. I mean, the last time, these very figures here, in the verbal presentation, I'm talking about 4 to 5, it's at 7 to 2, which was later confirmed that it's 4 to 5. And even the number of new lines, which we discussed the last time, we said one figure the order said, and that keep oscillating to 240 new lines per quarter. Somebody said that. I remember that. And which means that you will never, ever be able to supply landlines to anybody, to the country. And you know, when that was said, it remind, which I said, I remind, you were reminded, you, GT&T or ATN, GT&T, came here as a landline company. And the assurance at the time that they got concessions, etc., was that they were going to have a universal landline in network in the whole country. That was the understanding, that was the reason that Mr. Hoyt's administration gave these concessions. And GT&T enjoyed those concessions for 20-something years. And not only concessions in terms of customs, in terms of other things that there are, that went without monopoly.
Mr. Beale, with the greatest of respect, do you have a question for GT&T?
Well, the question is straight, that what I'm saying is that the question is, could GT&T be precise in whatever they're saying so that we can take it for as truth? I mean, that don't oscillate, don't change. For instance, the numbers, GT&T gave a number of...
Is there a specific question?
The number...
In one sentence, please.
The specific question is, could GT&T be precise in what they're saying or what their presentations are? And I was giving you an example of the imprecision.
I don't know if Mr. Newman wants to weigh in on any of these issues.
So, thank you, Chair. As I said, before we are deploying a fiber optic network, the Guyana Consumer Association is quite keen on the issue of deployment of copper services. And and often refers to 1992. We're in 2017. And what I would like to say is that we're deploying a next generation network, and we will continue to look for solutions that provide fast and reliable communications to the public. When I was here the last time, I actually had the areas, but we didn't have an opportunity to look at that. But what I can say is that by the end of the year, we will be able to provide services, new next generation services, which includes voice communication to more than 20,000 homes. I'd like to repeat that the next generation services are a lot more reliable than the current services in terms of copper, because it's an improvement, it's a significant improvement on what we have. And while I hear the consumer associations refrain, I would have to say that in order for them to really commit, they would actually have to try the service and see it and understand it, because I get the feeling that we're talking past each other. As a company, as GTT, and as a CEO of GTT, I must say that I'm personally committed, and the company and the parent company, we're all committed to providing faster and more reliable communications to the people of Guyana. I don't want us to get into the conversation of technology, because copper is legacy technology.
Thank you, Mr.
Yeah. of clarification. I gather you're 20,000.
Yeah, the plan, your dwelling rooms are C1, 2, and 7. Congratulations to all the newest lucky 3 winners, and please remember. At the precise moment of 2 o'clock, Mr. Sommer.
All right, yeah. What, just some clarification from Mr. Nell and your colleague. The 20,000 homes you're talking about that you will service by the end of this year are represented through your zone 1 to 3, am I right? It would be in all the zones. Would that be correct? Or basically only in Georgetown and the environment?
Thank you, Commissioner Solomon. The 20,000 homes, and homes part is just a term, right? Businesses will be included in that. That is from Diamond, and we're going as far as, so Diamond through to Georgetown, and we eventually we'll end up as far as Buxton over the next 6 to 12 months.
You know, I noticed that the zones, the way you express the zones, there's no mention at all about Essequibo. Essequibo is not included in this. Now, what are your plans on Essequibo in respect of landlines or any other service you might want to provide?
So I want to say again, and I don't want to mislead the commission, like, we're not doing copper. So let's not have a technology discussion, right? We're going to provide communications. We did the first step in Essequibo earlier this year, which is provide the internet. So the next step, we're actually doing some development to provide voice communication. I don't want to say landlines because that suggests copper. But we're going to do voice communication, or looking at doing voice communication over that internet connection. So it's voice over IP.
You want to get developing costs like we're talking about? If somebody wants to get me, what are you talking about? Voice communication, whatever. What are you talking about? Payment per month or something?
Well, the internet, the cost of the internet varies between, right now our most affordable plan is, and these numbers include value-added tax, $6,000, and the fastest one is $13,999 for residential services.
$13,999.
That includes
VAT?
Yeah, VAT
included. And that is what we'll obtain in Essequibo?
No, Essequibo services are between $8,000 and $10,000. That's for the internet.
And this includes voice?
No, it doesn't. It does not include voice.
The internet,
right?
The person must have a computer to organize. Am I right?
Well, not really a computer, but an internet connected device.
Okay.
And this is what, sorry, Mr. Lisa, this is the rollout, as it were, and I'm using the wrong choice of words, that you had a few months ago in Essequibo.
That was in February.
That's the device that they now have.
Yes.
And I know that you probably do not, and because of the experience, you're hoping to adjourn a few minutes to come back to you. But how many homes have been supply?
I can actually give you an exact figure. Almost exact. Within 50.
50.
Within 50. No. The precision would be plus or minus 50. I actually checked the yesterday. It was just over 700. Right. So just over 700 people have.
On the coast.
Yeah, on the Essequibo coast have taken that service. And what I want to say is that. And if you notice, and I don't have your numbers, I'm not privy to your numbers, but I would say that your complaints for internet on the Essequibo coast or service on the Essequibo coast would have plummeted significantly because of that.
Can I invite the members or the member of the public? Would you like to ask something, sir?
Yes.
You come forward, please. Hopefully you don't have a defective mic on that end.
Are you going to remain in that seat?
Good afternoon.
Good
afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Yes, the question I'd like to ask is that I've noted the zone that you're speaking about was from Diamond, and either fortunately or unfortunate for me, I'm past Diamond. I'm at Hudsonville, which is the New Hope area, as I stated last week, about 440 yards from the New Hope Exchange. I need to know when would I be getting such the high-speed service up there. When with the phase, am I in the second or the third phase?
So, that's the question, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so help me understand. Your question is, when will you be able to get high-speed internet in the New Hope area?
Yes.
Right. Okay, so the unfortunate thing about deploying infrastructure is that we can't deploy to everyone on day one. New Hope is actually not very far from Diamond, and we're looking at deploying improved DSL services by using the same technology but shortening the loop lengths, right? So some fiber, some copper. And we've also done some changes to our core in the network to provide more reliable services. So you should actually see some of that being rolled out in the next few months, right? So it would be changing some of your equipment and doing some stuff to configure equipment. Now, overall, we're very committed, and the commitment is, I can tell you the commitment in dollars. So we spent over $4 million on what we call Insight Plant, all the equipment in the company. Yeah, and this is US dollars. Thank you, Mark. $4 million US dollars. The fiber project in this first phase is about $20 million US dollars. And we're looking at high-speed wireless deployments for broadband and for communication, fixed broadband. And that's looking like another $15 to $20 million. So given, and our accounts are public, so given that spending, you'll see that we've spent multiples of our net income to really revolutionize the network, and we continue to spend on Guyana despite being in aggregate more than 50% taxes. So when we hear, oh, all these things that we didn't do, I really want us to look on the positive side and see that GTT is actually investing heavily, because quite frankly, when somebody builds a building and they open a new store and they spend $1 million, it's a big ribbon cutting exercise. But we spend, you know, tens of millions of dollars on improving communication services.
The East Coast is very concentrated population wise, up to what and more. You're going up to Boston, what plans do you have today?
So remember what I said, and that's a good question, right? It's, I gave you the layout for the first six, right, over the next 6 months, what we're doing. There's East Coast, there's Bartica, the East Coast beyond Buxton, there's Bartica, there is New Amsterdam, there's Skeldon. All of those areas are areas that we're looking at. It's Linden, Tushin, Parika, right? We're well aware of those areas, but it is for many of you who have actually been in business or understand the dilemma, it's an economic thing. We can't do everything at once, right? Because that's $100 million. We physically cannot do it in terms of bringing people in. There just is not enough labor to do some of this stuff, right? But we are committed to continually driving for improvements in communications. This is not, it's not a case where we'll just sit and say, well, you know, we didn't get a rate for the last 15 years from the PUC, so we won't do anything. It's not like that. We're driving to improve and revolutionize communication in Guyana.
In respect of Essequibo, you did mention that 700 people mm-hmm. are already in the internet service. Mm-hmm. First of all, what percentage of that is it compared to the total demand in Essequibo? And how soon you think you might be able to? Do you have a time frame when the others might be on stream on this internet service?
So on the Essequibo coast, so we're talking from Suppanam to Charity.
Right.
The demand is, to answer your question, I don't know how much more demand is there. We can do a little more marketing activity to raise awareness, but as the network is provisioned, right, we have the capacity. If anybody wants a service and they walk into the office, they can get it.
You have that right now?
Yeah, right now. So this is a wireless service, right? So
is this a question of demand?
Walk in, apply for it, okay. Get it. Matter of days.
And you haven't got any sort of unfulfilled demand?
No. There's no backlog here.
And because this is also installed in a quick manner?
Yeah, it takes a couple of hours, but relatively, like, if you apply today, there's nothing that stops you from getting it before Saturday.
The difference
to get voice, what's the lowest amount of money that someone would have to pay a residential area to get voice?
For the voice over IP?
What the minimum amount of money is expected to be paid?
So on the Essequibo coast, like I said, we're working on those plans for the voice side. What we found is that there's a greater demand for data. So even if you look at historically your complaints, people say, "Oh, I need service on the Essequibo coast."
I'm asking you, what will it cost?
The first thing I said that we're still working on the plan, so I don't have the number for you right now.
Let's say, Diamond to Buxton. Let's say,
right?
What would it cost?
So we've rolled out some of the cost. I give you the cost for the internet, and because of the demand for the internet, we rolled it out. Could you hear me out, please? We we rolled it out, and we still need to finalize some of the voice offerings.
I understand you keep talking about the internet, but
The last thing I said, we still need to finalize some of the voice offerings. So right now, people are using the voice, but...
You can't say what the bottom line in terms of what might be the cost.
We're finalizing it. We have rolled out the service. People are using it. We recognize that.
But they're paying right now for it?
No.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
Are there any other questions from anyone? Mr. DL, the gentleman here? Even Mr. Stabrick News, you too are a member of, you're a consumer. So if you want to ask any questions, consumers, commissioners?
Just one, I'm not sure if this is a question really, but a comment. We're talking about voice here. It's obvious that the people in Essex River do not have that access. Your numbers indicate that you only have 700 subscribers, I believe, for the internet service. I think the question that the commission was really asking is what really is GT&T doing, because you've made it very clear earlier that you're not rolling out copper service. What really is the medium for communication outside of mobile service for the people in Essequibo? Noting in passing that you have indicated that your costs for the internet service in Georgetown is $5,999 or $6,000. And the minimum cost in Essequibo was $8,000. Just that, I wanted to know.
So, I don't want us to go down the road of comparing apples and oranges, because what obtains in Essequibo, right, the minimum price and speed in Essequibo is faster than the minimum price and speed in Georgetown, so you can't compare. As it relates to voice, as I said, we're still doing the development of the product to put it out there. And we'll see how the demand goes. And to be frank, given the 700 people in the Essequibo course, because I know that we've received a number of complaints over the years. The PUC has received a number of complaints over the years in Essequibo. We said absolutely push out the service as quickly as possible. When I look at the complaints that we get, they've almost evaporated. But for the legacy service that somebody might have and say, oh, I didn't know that you offered this new service. So is there a demand for voice? Perhaps. Is it a great demand for voice? From what we've seen so far, no. Because with the internet and with the voice over IP, people plug in Magic Jack or Skype or WhatsApp and they contact each other.
But isn't the demand dollar driven? So it's a question of cost, whether we can afford.
Yeah, well, we would love to give services for free.
I understand, but let's say we are saying if they can't afford that one, then we have nothing else to offer.
we could do all sorts.
I don't know what a license says about that.
All sorts of economic analysis to come to price that we would maximize demand. But I could tell you that price would be zero.
Question for
the period. It's interesting that when you have a large number of falling in the 11-14-15, which are a different argument, the river aid or the Queensland area, it's an area of high concentration, Have you indicated that you implemented some workforce management initiative? And then, one of your previous indicators, you don't have to share in some area. But if you don't have to share, we do think it's coming from you. It's okay to want to make it 50%, maybe the third, but the other is one of the people. So when you don't have to share, and we accept that and we begin to do that. Okay, we have for sure, and that's the end of it. Because you have cases like Georgetown, when you have 21.6 a day, 1,246. I mean, what do you make of this? Many people will be rushed out from the very next week. You are in the government statistics in the
world.
How do you do that? I mean, you will be a proper to do this.
So, could you help me understand what is it you get into?
I'm looking at the period of time that you're taking to fix calls. And I'm not going to be happy. I'm really keeping on for something. I just wonder if you get that, maybe you can do something with that. And how long does it take to let them happen? Do you have any mechanism to put in place?
We actually do have personnel in some of these places, right? So let's talk geographies. We've got personnel in some of the places. If you're asking us to fly somebody to say Maparuma,
I'm just saying you indicated in your report to us that you did not have personnel. I'm using your now you're telling me that you do have in some places. But what I'm saying is highly concentrated areas.
So you know what? Today, the 13th of September, you know how much calls we got? 2,000. You know why? Because some foolish person cut 2 of our 1,000 pair cables and took away up the East Coast. So no, because those faults are in there, right? No, but I'm giving an example. It's the same thing, because Georgetown isn't that far from some of the places in the East Coast.
What I'm saying, if it's going to the East Coast, we have a number of all areas of high concentration. We don't know vandalism. And we still have this elective period. We need to do something about it.
Okay. So what would you propose?
I am serving you because we have vandalism. But like in Georgetown, we also vandalism. We still have to look at the length that we take to fix people.
I totally agree with you. Because as the CEO of GTT, I actually do not like people with outage. So what would you propose, Commissioner?
Well, you, it's your license and your commitment to supply. We can see with you, but we can't ignore that while you want to make a 50%, you still have the other side of the coin that you have an obligation to consume.
So
we try to balance it.
Commissioner?
We need to balance the companies interest.
So may I ask you a question?
Right.
Thank you. Do you appreciate that we have, since the 23rd of May, made a concerted effort to significantly reduce the faults? That's one. Do you understand that our target is to have 1% or below faults at any given time? And I want to say one thing that made the commitment to put resources behind spending on overtime and ensuring that we hit that number. Now, we're not perfect. Not gonna say that we're perfect, but I'm telling you, the guys are committed to pushing that number below 1%. Right? So, and we will get to that number by technology improvements in terms of the fiber, technology improvements in terms of workforce management that Mark Reynolds spoke about, and ensuring that we get the right people in the right jobs to make sure that customers are not out of service.
Okay, you told me I should be happy with me. All I want to say, I'm glad, but it's a little belated because we should...
Okay, so it's belated. What shall we do?
What shall we do?
We should lament on it?
We continue. But what I'm hearing from you is your internet, your communication. And that direction will leave a lot of people out of the communication network because the cost may be prohibitive. That's all I'm saying to you. So, in other words, you're licensed to provide communication, and so you'll be providing communication even in concentrated areas to a small minority based on the demand.
With all due respect, Commissioner, I believe that whatever we say, the goalposts will move.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
If we can, Ms. Diel, if we can have a few minutes to deliberate, I imagine 15 minutes or thereabouts. 15 minutes. It is hoped at the end of this that we will have some sort of determination for GTT. There's water, tea, and coffee. Please feel free to help yourselves. Thank you very much. We will resume at 2:45. Thank you. Please inform you that the Commission has arrived at a decision, and if you would bear with me, I will read the decision. In July 2014, GT&T submitted an application for new rates and a variation of rates. This application was heard, and by order number 1 of 2015 was dismissed on the 13th of March 2015. GT&T filed an application for review of this order, and the Commission granted specific new rates, increased and decreased other categories of rates with consequential conditions. The new rates took effect on the 1st of August 2017 and is detailed in Order 2 of 2017. By way of letter which was dated the 22nd of August 2017, GT&T made a further application under Section 77 of the PUC Act, Act 10 of 1999, to review two of the conditions set by the Commission in its Order Number 2 of 2017, namely 1, the requirement for the company to roll out not less than 1,000 landlines per quarter was unattainable, 2, The response time for fault reporting for landline services is to be reviewed. The commission, after considering GT&T's application, takes a public hearing on GT&T's application on the 7th day of September 2017. And I will now speak to the issues on the various headings. Heading number one, number of lines to be rolled out. At the hearing, GT&T argued that the information previously provided by the company that there are over 19,000 applicants for landline services was flawed. They posited that the numbers that were generated had been derived from a defunct system which was used to capture records of landline applications, and it included aged applications. For ease of reference, gentlemen, we have reduced your figures that we were given into table form. So I will just quickly go through that. For the period 1992 to 2012, under the headings erroneous number of applications in excess of 19,000, the actual number of age applications, 13,565 applications. Number of applications for the period 2013 to 2016, 6,125 applications. Under a different table, outstanding applications as at 2016 up to and including September 2017. Number of outstanding applications, 16,000. Percentage of applications in engineered areas, 48%. Number of service level applications, 8,813. According to GT&T, it faced a number of issues which would have resulted in the quantum of service level applications from the outstanding applications, namely A, duplication, B, relocation of applicants, C, inadequate documentation, D, migration, E, debt. The third and last table dealt with the applications which met the criteria and applications for service to be activated. Number of applications which satisfied criteria according to GT&T was 1,170 applicants, and these would have been applicants who are required to effect payments. The number of applications to be activated was in the amount of 1,770 applicants who had already paid and were awaiting service. During the hearing, the company committed that the applications in the foregoing table, the last table, are to be serviced within 2 quarters, and the commission expects to be appraised of the process in this regard. The company further stated that it is developing a system which would allow consumers to pay online. The company has impressed upon the commission that a reasonable and attainable figure for the company is 250 lines per quarter. The heading with respect to fault reporting. GT&T informed the commission that it has established a task force which is seized with the singular responsibility of addressing fault reporting. According to data submitted by GT&T to date, the task force has successfully resolved or remedied faults in expeditious timelines. And as of yesterday, we were in receipt of those figures, and I will not concern you with those figures because we are all in receipt of that data. Moving forward, the company has requested that the commission considers the following proposed zones and timelines as it relates to addressing faults, namely one, Zone 1, which would encompass Georgetown, Greater Georgetown, West Demerara, East Demerara. Zone 2, Linden and Burbese Townships. Zone 3, Bartica, East Kanji, Kokwani, Matthews Ridge, Rupanui, Savannah, West Bank, Burbese, West Kanji. zone one, for zone one, the proposed fault remedying timeline would be 7 to 10 working days. Zone two, 10 to 15 working days. Zone three, 15 to 30 working days. GT&T indicated that it intends to employ new technology which would allow it to remedy faults remotely. The Ghana Consumer Association in its presentation stated that in its opinion, GT&T's timeline for rectifying faults has deteriorated considerably. The GCA stated that the timeline for Georgetown and the coastal areas should be approximately 3 to 4 working days. The association was of the view that the timeline review should take into account the compensatory credit that the company is required to provide to consumers for their failure to address the faults within a stipulated time frame. They, meaning the GCA, posited that GTT has provided inaccurate information in its implementation of the order without those conditions and should be requested to return to the consumers the increased rates. The Commission, after a brief adjournment, requested that GT&T submit the following additional information on its work on the work of its task force. We've already gone through that this morning. The Commission then adjourned the hearing to the 13th day of September 2017, and on that day considered the submissions and deemed the hearing closed. The Commission, in reviewing GT&T's application, wishes to reiterate that in the granting of rates as contained in Order 2 of 2017, that any increase in landline rates must lead to an expanded and improved quality of service with respect to landline service. And further, the Commission expects that adequate resources be allocated for this purpose. Fundamentally, the seminal issue to be determined is whether there is a high demand for landline service. In the context of the submissions offered by the company and the consumers at the public hearing, there appears to be such a need for this service. It is noted that the Commission's view that GT&T has been sporadic in its rollout of landline service around the country, particularly in the rural areas. This is by no means an indication that the applicants for the service is a nominal amount. Notwithstanding that GT&T has demonstrated that the figure of 19,000 plus applicants may have been inaccurate, the company is still required to do more to market its landline service. The Commission is of the view that this demand has not reached its saturation point. In light of the foregoing, we now render our decision. After considering the presentations made by GT&T and the Consumers Association, and taking on board the submissions made by members of the public who were present on the 7th day of September 2017 and other factors, it is hereby ordered that with effect from the date of this Order 2 of 2017 stands varied and or amended to read as follows. 1. GT&T must submit to the Commission on a quarterly basis an appraisal of the progress showing the new services rolled out, inclusive of rural areas. This should be no less than 350 lines per quarter, which may include up to 25% reissued lines. 2. Save and accept force majeure factors. Fault repairs are to be remedied in the following time frames and zones. Urban areas, townships, 5 working days. Suburban, rural areas, 8 working days. Hinterland areas, 20 working days. A similar quarterly report is to be submitted on fault reports received and executed. This order is to be read in conjunction with Order 2 of 2017 to the extent that same has now been varied and or amended by this order and remains effective from the 1st of August 2017. Thank you very much. This hearing is now deemed closed. We will, in due course, give you the hard copy of this document. The commissioners have to sign off on it, and it will be uploaded onto our website. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Hearing is now closed and adjourned.